Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Talking to God, a study on the principles of prayer based on Ron Dunn's book, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. In this session, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Prayer can't run on empty. Relationship with God must be true. Prayer can't run on empty. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12 says, I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. People treated God's word as a stranger. That's quite a picture because the stranger was not at home in Israel. The stranger had no say in any affairs, no vote. His opinion was essentially ignored. Let me ask you, do we treat Scripture like a stranger today? John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Listen, there are two realities of his words abiding in us. First, reality is being controlled by the word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is your heart a place where God's word is at home? Or is it a hotel where checkout time is immediately after worship on Sunday? John doesn't mince words. Claim Christ. Disobedient? A liar. What does it mean to keep his commandment? Well, it means to have a God perspective. God and his word are always considered. No decisions until seeing what pleases him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What we experience today, hear today, read today, will affect our lives tomorrow. That's why Proverbs 22:6 is so very important. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We get out what we put in. Decisions in life are made based on what we fill our minds and hearts with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 down to verse 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Second reality is being cleansed by the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Remember the imagery of the vine in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2? Verse 5, it bears fruit. It bears more fruit. It bears much fruit. A dynamic spiritual life growing. Consider it. If you're a vine branch, you're resting, abiding, where you should be in the vine, bearing good fruit, and then suddenly a piece of your best wood gets clipped off. Another branch tries to encourage you that it's for your own good. You'll get through it. But you're sure you won't. In fact, you think, wait a minute, did the vine forget that bunch of fruit I just produced? the vine dresser? Well, look again at John 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Pruning is continual cleansing. God is always using his word to cleanse us. All the wood, all that wood, drains fruit-bearing energy. Too much wood can come from good things as well. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Actually, our text for this session. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha's always in the kitchen. She liked cooking. Mary didn't help much. She enjoyed other things. It's not right for Martha to do everything. Mary must be lazy. That's essentially what Martha is saying. And what is Jesus' view? Well, just one thing is needed. There are many good things. Many things, but only one is needed. And what one thing? Enjoying his presence. Feasting on what he prepares for you. Do you get it? Martha wore herself out to serve Jesus good food. But Mary got the good food at Jesus' feet. Don't miss this. Jesus will survive if Martha doesn't feed him. But Martha won't survive if Jesus doesn't feed her. Many Christian branches die on the vine being busy. Have you spent time sitting at the feet of Jesus, consuming his word? Effective prayer will not survive without his words abiding in you. Well, let me encourage you. Read the Bible. Regularly. Read the Bible alertly. Read the Bible systematically. Read the Bible prayerfully. Read the Bible expectantly. Read the Bible obediently. Make a commitment to read the Bible faithfully. You have a great day.